catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hola, ¿cómo está? Usando dos manos.
There you are.
A conve gavritia. Не знаю.
No idea.
What you just said.
We've unlocked Spanish mode.
Another world. Another time. In the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some pixie dust around. Think up that happiest thought. Get yourself covered in that pixie dust because we got a long flight to Neverland this week. And I, of course, will be your guide. Well, I'm the head lost boy around here. They call me the Spider Pan, but you can call me Jeremy or Spider Pan. And, you know, it's not a good idea to fly solo when you're flying to Neverland because you never know if you might run into pirates. And so we have a lost boy back with us after two long weeks where people had to just put up with me talking to myself. So lost boy Ritlaw, known as Eric, is here.
How do? Yes, I flew solo. I flew solo. The pirates did almost get me.
Almost. Yeah, I think you were over the Caribbean there a few times there, weren't you?
At one point I was over the Caribbean. At another point I was living with the land. At another point I was doused in imagination.
Having a good old time. How long were you over there? I knew you were going one weekend, and then you were going to go like a second weekend, and then you were still there this weekend. Like, did he move in?
Well, I just about moved in. My family got our annual passes for Walt Disney World this year. We went down the weekend of March 2nd for my wife's birthday, and you fully utilized our passes that day, found a wonderful off-property resort to stay at. Then we said, you know what? This has been so much fun. The kids are out of school next week. Let's head back down next weekend and spend a few more days. And we went and spent 5 days starting on the...
Sometime last week.
What day? Yeah, last Friday. I'll say last Friday. Yeah. And we were there for 5 days. And
my goodness.
Just had ourselves a good old time. Got to spend quite a bit of time at the parks. Spent some time in Kissimmee and Orlando as well. Just, you know, going through the city and seeing the sights and getting out of the Disney bubble for a little bit. But we had a great time. We're fully invested pass holders now, and we'll definitely be making more trips. We already just started working on our plans for our next trip coming up in April.
My goodness. I forgot what I was thinking. Oh, I actually wanted to ask about, because you just said you stayed off property. Mm-hmm. Is it a little cheaper to stay off property?
Oh, most definitely. It is a lot cheaper to stay off property. There are places like the Art of Animation Resorts and the All-Star Resorts, where they're value resorts, and you can get them for a very decent per-night rate. However, there's a lot of property just right off of the Disney World property itself where you can get, you know, some very good rates. I think the most we've paid per night staying off property was around $100.
No, that's not bad. Location, you know.
Yeah, considering the location. You know, I'll tell you this. Disneyland, it got to a point where, you know, it was difficult to find anything for less than $140, $150 per night. Whereas at Disney World, we've been able to easily beat that, you know, multiple nights and not have an issue with it. So, you know, it's definitely growing on me.
So how does it balance out? Because I guess you rented a car so you could go and look around at Kissimmee and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or Kissimmee.
Mm-hmm. And again, even rental car prices have not been that bad for us. So, you know, we've got the biggest investment, which is airline tickets are not a factor for us, thanks to my job. I love my benefits. But, you know, we also make sure we try and take advantage of deals through Costco, through our employers. We have discounted sites where we can get low-cost hotel options and rental car options. And then from there, it's just, you know, trying to figure out what's best for your budget. You know, obviously, when you're in the parks, you're going to be spending quite a bit on your meals and on food and snacks. But, you know, when you can pick up and leave and drive, you know, 20 minutes off the property and go to Bahama Bucks and get some snow cones for, you know, a quarter of the price of what you pay in the parks, you know, you do it. You know, on top of that, there's also some options like the Disney Character Warehouse, where you can go and get heavily discounted, discontinued merchandise from the parks. In fact, I'm wearing a t-shirt right now where I paid, oh, I think about $7 or $8 for it at the Character Warehouse, where in the park it was, you know, $25 to $30.
I may have to consider that, because right now we're considering using some of our tax money to go down. And I've got to come up with something really good to where Heather is going to be like, yep, okay, definitely, let's go then. And right now I'm looking, I've had a travel agent quote me some prices to go to, I guess, the All-Star Music to stay there. And one of the benefits, you know, of course, staying on properties, you get after magic hours and setting up a meal plan. But I don't know, can I set up a meal plan even if I'm not at the resort?
I don't believe so. You need to be a guest of the resort in order to take advantage of the Disney dining plan.
I need to juggle everything, because it would be nice to go, because one of the things Heather would really like to do is go see the ocean, but I don't know how much of a drive it would be.
It's about 45 minutes from the airport. Yeah. In fact, last year we took a couple of exploratory trips with our kids. We did not have tickets to either of the park or to any of the parks. But we wanted to, you know, just get out, go to Orlando, go to Disney Springs, which, of course, you know, there's no cost to do that. And, of course, you can also drive around the resort and see the different parks, you know, from the roadway. In fact, even one time we went and we just parked in the Magic Kingdom parking lot, popped on the monorail and went on a circle between the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Just to, you know, go out there and do something with it. But the first thing we did on that particular trip was we picked up our car. We actually got in at around 5 o'clock in the morning, picked up our car. There is a toll road just to the north of the airport that goes straight out to Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach. And we did that, got to watch the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. I got to see cruise ships that were docked and getting ready to head on out. We can see all of the NASA buildings off in the distance as well.
Neat. Now, do some of the off-property resorts actually offer any sort of a bus or transportation to the parks?
Yeah. In fact, the hotel that we stayed at this past trip, which wasn't as high quality as the one we had a couple weeks ago, they did have a shuttle that would take you to all of the resorts. However, we had our rental car, and we have free parking with our annual passes. So we never did utilize the off-property transportation options. But I know that they're available at many of the hotels there in the area.
Yeah, because it would be nice to be able to get a ride to and from and not have to pay for parking at the resorts. Because if we wanted to say, well, you know, if we go down for 4 days, but if we wanted to spend 3 days kind of going to the parks with park hoppers, If we could at least, I guess, park and then even just hop a monorail, we could get to a lot of the parks. I don't think you can get to Animal Kingdom with a monorail, though, can you?
No. In fact, but that's the great thing about the Disney Resort, though, is they've also got a bus system.
Yeah.
That'll pick you up from just about every resort. That'll pick you up from each of the parks and will take you to the other resorts in the parks. And I think I was hearing that they've got the largest private bus fleet. There at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, and it is, that's what, when I was there before, we relied on the bus. And so I'm kind of weighing the options between, if you were on resort, of course, you have buses right there. If we stay off property, we rent a vehicle. That way we can at least spend a day driving out to, so Heather can see the ocean. But then still, I don't know if even maybe if this would make sense to do, but come in a day early, rent a car. Stay off property for at least one night, go see the ocean, come back, then go to an on-property location so you can spend the rest of the time just going to the parks.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an option. And that way we have a day we could also look around Orlando a little bit, see, you know, visit that outlet store.
And I also learned that Universal City Walk has free parking after 6 p.m.
Oh, cool. It would be nice to also have a ticket to go to the Harry Potter parks and stuff, but it might have business picking up as this Hagrid motorcycle adventure is going to be opening soon.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'd had this listed when we get into news, but it's got to just short mention because we don't have a whole lot of information necessarily about it other than you're on a motorbike. And it's a, like, legit motorbike type of things that they've built as this roller coaster. And you're going through the Forbidden Forest and some ruins and stuff like that. And the funny thing is Tom Felton has been on a press tour for it, which they always get some of the old cast from Harry Potter for these things. But he's been on the Today Show. I've seen some video on YouTube where he's got his hair kind of pulled back. But on the Today Show, he looked very grunge. And he's kind of got longer kind of hair, blondish. And he was just kind of wearing just, you know, he looked like he just, you know, rolled out of bed and threw some clothes on. He's very grunge looking. And I was looking at this and like, I wonder if he's grown his hair out because somebody's making a biopic of Kurt Cobain and they've cast Tom Felton to play Kurt Cobain. That's what he looked like.
Yeah, you never know. I actually thought he looked a lot like late 90s Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, he did. He did. He reminded me of Macaulay Culkin a little bit too. But so I'm wondering what's up with that. I almost want to get on the Twitter feed and see if he's said anything about it or somebody's asked him about it. Because, you know, actors, sometimes they grow their hair out for a park. So I kind of wondered about that. So, but I figured things are going to pick up over at Universal with that new ride opening that might be kind of messy. And, you know, going to Walt Disney World before August and Galaxy's Edge opens, you'll have just the normal busy summer crowds. You won't necessarily have the Star Wars crowds all starting to pile in yet. So I'm considering that factor.
Well, and Fantastic, or this Hagrid attraction isn't the only new thing coming to Universal. There is a big addition coming to, projection show. But they've also got a big update to Jurassic Park section of the park that is coming. And it's not just the update of the Jurassic Park Adventure, but there's some rumors that they might be adding in a brand new roller coaster in that section as well.
Yeah, it's becoming Jurassic World now, basically.
Yep. So just watch out for the large dinosaurs in the bay.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't go swimming. So, yeah, there's a lot of busy stuff happening. But, yeah, I still got a lot of stuff to consider. But right now I'm adjusting to my new life. And this is how this has been kind of fun. And I've been keeping everybody up tabs on it. So everybody would know that I've started up at a place called Eagle Communications. They have like four different radio stations. I'm up there as a board operator. Now, when they hired me, their intention was for me regularly every week to work weekends, Saturday and Sunday, midnight to 8 a.m. So I'd be getting home Saturday morning and like Sunday morning. So if I was doing that, it would get in the way of me going to church. It would get in the way of doing the podcast because the weekends is usually when I record. So I was a little worried about that, but I was like, well, this is my toe in the door. But as things worked out, and I think I did mention this, but the day I started, I actually got contacted by Alpha Media, which I guess they're a bit of a larger company, but they have a couple of stations in Cameron, Missouri. That's still about 45 minutes away from me, so it's still a smaller market. But I got contacted from them to be a radio morning host. Which, morning host, I got excited. It's not exactly what I thought it would be, but it's still very cool. Well, I went and interviewed, and now the funny thing about this interview is the guy who interviewed me, this Chris Ward guy, he's got, and he even just got a new Star Wars tattoo, but he's got Star Wars tattoos going down his arm, and he just got Chewbacca done, and so he's still putting lotion on it the other day. But so I spent most of that interview, we were talking Star Wars, and I got hired. So I was like, okay, well, they want to have me on. And I even said, like, you know, if I have to make a choice between the two stations, I like the idea of working 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. a little bit better. It's only 15 hours a week at $10 an hour. Because you have to really start small. And so it's a tighten your belt thing. And I thought, well, if I was doing that in the morning, I still have the rest of the day to go do Lyft and Uber and try to, you know, make ends meet that way. So this could work out. The question is, if I was still doing Eagle Communications for what they had planned for me, I'd be working 7 days a week. So I was concerned about that. Just like, I don't want to exhaust myself or have no energy to put into this show. You know, I've had this podcast now going for a long time, and I didn't want to have to drop it because I would be too tired to do it or too exhausted. I mean, this is kind of what brought me to the table on this sort of thing. So I was worried about that. And then I got a call from the guy over at Eagle. His name's Travis. And he says, okay, because he wanted me to come in and do some training this past Monday to do evening. They're still trying to settle things in before they left me fly solo, really. I've done some midnight to 8 o'clock shifts like three nights in a row. And that, let me tell you, when I get off work at 8 o'clock, I thought I'd be too tired to do anything. But my body naturally wanted to wake up and begin the day, which was also unfortunate. I'm not good at night shifts. Last time I tried to work a night shift, I got very sick. So I was concerned about that as well. And I'm like, oh, man. And I didn't for 3 days. I hardly got any sleep because I can't sleep during the day. So I was a little worried about that. But so he had called, though, and said, OK, well, you know, come in Monday. We want to show you a few other things with Rick that he does during his shift, because part of my work there was going to be, you know, the weekends. And also we wanted to give the other board operators on the weekdays a chance to have a day off. And so I could come in and fill in for their shifts, which is great. That's more hours. Mm-hmm. But I told him, says, oh, by the way, you know, because I'd kept them afloat with what was going on in Cameron with getting the contact. I let them know what was happening. And I told him, oh, hey, I actually got the position to do that morning show thing. And I says, you know, what the part that worries me, though, is if I'm continuing to do weekends with you guys, I'm working 7 days a week. And he said what I was thinking. He said, oh, you really don't want to burn out, do you? And I said, oh, exactly. I would burn out. So he says, no problem. Instead of doing weekends, how about you stick around, though, to do our fill-in days? When we have somebody who wants to take a sick day or a vacation day, you can come in and work their shift. They're on a weekday. And I was like, perfect. That would be ideal. That way I could still work both jobs. Mm-hmm. So that's working great. I'm amazed at how flexible they're being with me. I mean, it's all still part-time work. So, I mean, it's not like they have a full-time expectation. I filled in for a guy named Rick who works like 4 to midnight. I did that on Friday. I'm doing it again on Monday. And they're also being so flexible. I'm loving this so far. So Monday I was supposed to have gone in, but at about 10 o'clock that morning, as I got a summons for an Uber trip, and I picked the guy up in Lenexa. And this poor guy had just gotten laid off of his job, but he was living and staying with his son in Lenexa, Kansas, but he needed to go all the way home to just outside of St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
4-hour drive. Realizing this is, wow, this is going to be 8 hours there and back again, I was like, ooh. So I contacted the radio station up there, Eagle Communications. I said, I might be a little late, like maybe a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time I got back into Kansas City, it was a little after 6, and I called up there and says, okay, I can get up to St. Joe. I'd be there about 7 o'clock. They wanted me to only maybe go like 4 to 10 or 4 to midnight if I really wanted to. I said, is that going to be too late for me to kind of learn what it is you wanted me to learn from Rick of what he has to do on Monday nights? And they just said, oh, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you're fine. But make sure you can come in on Friday. You're still good for Friday because Rick's not going to be here and we need you to cover for him. So they were very nobody was mad at me or anything.
All right.
So I was like, oh, my gosh, the radio industry is fantastic because we have a level of professionalism and flexibility going on. So I'm sure at some point they'll be more dependent upon me than what they are now. And maybe they will be a little like, hey, you know. But this has been great. I started up in Cameron on, Thursday. So Thursday morning, and so I basically get to go through. I look through the Highway Patrol Troop H and some other sources, and I gather news of what's happening around the Cameron area, and which is basically car accidents, which one of them was this 19-year-old girl who managed to hit an embankment, send her car airborne, hit the ground, and flip it 7 times.
Oh, goodness.
Minor injuries, though, because she wore her seatbelt. All right, folks, wear your seatbelt. But, you know, we cover stuff like that, and then I found a story of, like, some drug arrests, you know. So I'm getting to, you know, I read these news stories on the air in the mornings in the mix of, they actually have a syndicated morning show that they send in segments, and we plug them into play at certain times to make it seem like it's being done locally. But then it's intermixed with me every hour. You're going to hear from me doing some news and some weather. And the second hour, you'll hear news, weather, and obituaries from me. Which I haven't recorded anything myself yet. I'm going to record some stuff, I guess, tomorrow. They're slowly getting me comfortable with their computer system of how things work. The fun thing is I'm actually going to get to pick out a little bit of music. I'm doing this for a classic rock station, which we are on TuneIn. If you want to listen to this station, it's 100.1 KKWK, I think it is. Or it's like they go like quick is what they call themselves. So you can find it on TuneIn. You'll hear some classic rock, and you'll be able to hear me Central Time about 6 a.m. is when you'll first actually hear me, because I have from 5 a.m. to 6 to gather some news. But as we go through each hour, we move some ads around to make sure all the ads are going to play, that people pay money to have their ads play at certain times. And we try to make sure we fill the hour to around 2 seconds, under 2 seconds of an actual hour. So we go, and there's music that the program director maybe has put in to say, well, I'd like to have this stuff play. But we actually will place those songs in there, and we'll grab a few goofy liners, and, you know, funny jokes or whatever to do station identification, that kind of thing that you hear on radio. But, you know, Chris, as he's showing me stuff, he's like, you know, I don't even like that song. And he'll pull a song out and grab something else. He can know, okay, I have exactly this amount of time that I need to fill in there. He can punch a list with that time and find all the songs that are that length of time, and he can plug them in. But so that leaves a little discretion for me to pick some songs. You want to try to get some songs that go together. But I'm excited because I get to pick some of the songs that are going to play on a classic radio station. But here's where I started to feel old. When he was doing some searches, I saw a Stone Temple Pilots song listed as a classic rock. And I was like, oh, dude, Chris, that's are we that old? He says, yeah, you remember, you know, that was like, you know, like near 30 years ago. I was like, oh, was it that long ago? Really? But I was like, yeah, I guess I was in high school at the time. So, wow. Yeah, I felt my age. But, you know, it's pretty exciting, you know, the stuff I'm going to get to do. And this is where I start. And who knows, as things go on down the line, I might get more opportunity. And eventually, who knows, I might get my own show. If I get a popular enough show, it'd be nice to be able to go more of a national, because I'm used to that anyway. Actually, we're worldwide in a podcast. So, you know, getting more of a national show, going maybe syndicated, who knows, maybe satellite, you know, who knows how far I can make this go. I just have to work my tail off and have people actually enjoy me, in which, lo and behold, people actually do enjoy this show. In fact, I don't know the name of the podcast, but I will let you know when it happens. And I can't even pronounce the guy's name. It looks like Issa, but it could be Issa. But I did a little recording with him about the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And what he likes to do on his show is he gets lots of different various people and gets them to share what they think about certain aspects of the film. And so I recorded a bit with him, and he's going to edit together. When he releases the episode, I will make sure I post it and share it. But he wanted to have me on the show because he really enjoys this show. He said he's binge listened. And he also has confirmed what other people have told me. He thought we were pretty funny.
All right.
So it's official. We're funny. So
no, wait. Which one of us is pretty and which one of us is funny?
Well, I sure ain't pretty. So you can be the pretty one. So I will take the funny because my jokes are dumber than yours, I swear. You make good dad jokes, but you earn them because you're a dad. I don't have the excuse. I just make dumb jokes. So, but I'll let y'all know when that pops out there. But it's like, it's nice to be able to talk to other people and have people let you know that they're enjoying the show. Which, by the way, if you have never left us a review or any feedback to let us know what you think of the show, feel free to do so. And also, don't forget, we have a Patreon page. We also have a shop where you can get t-shirts, which we need to get more t-shirt ideas. As the last one we put up there was Unicorn P, which I thought was funny because that's where you stayed or where you parked your car. And so it's a yellow shirt with a unicorn on it, and it says Unicorn P. It's a lot. And so it's a bad joke, but it'd be fun to explain it to people, and it'd be like an inside joke. So that shirt is available.
Yeah, unfortunately, the last time I parked at Animal Kingdom, I was in Dinosaur 533. Doesn't quite work as well as Unicorn P.
Yeah, not quite as much fun. It should have been Dinosaur Egg or something. That would have been kind of funny. Or you know, that is one pile of poo. In the Jurassic Park area.
Yeah. Speaking of Disney World parking lots, though, I recently came across an article that said that Hollywood Studios is going to be updating their parking lot locator signs. What they have had in the past are listings for the certain lots that you're in. They had like television and movies and music and one other section that's just not coming to me, but they're going to be changing that, and they're going to be basing their parking lot around characters. Now, this is something that they currently do at Magic Kingdom and at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Depending upon where you park, it's associated with a specific character, and that's what's going to be happening with Hollywood Studios in the very near future, where they're going to have them based on the two that come to mind most readily are Olaf and BB-8, but I know that there's going to be some other characters there as well.
Well, cool. All right.
So maybe we can park in BB-8 pee.
What kind of pee would he have? I guess he could, stop leaking lubricants on the humans, Bumblebee. Something like that.
Did you hear this? There's now works already underway for a sequel to both Transformers The Last Knight as well as Bumblebee.
Well, nice. I never even got a chance to see Bumblebee, and I didn't want to see The Last Knight. So.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched The Last Knight, and I was scratching my head through the entire thing. But Bumblebee, I absolutely loved.
I'm going to get around to it eventually. I plan to see it. I still haven't gotten to see Lego 2 yet either, so...
Well, I'm still waiting to see Captain Marvel, so...
Okay, well, you have to let me know what you think about it and everything, because I actually had fun with it. And, oh my goodness, and sometimes I get tired of both the people who are, quote-unquote trolling it and the people who are fans of it, because they keep fighting with each other on social media. And I've seen people that anytime there's a Captain Marvel article of any sort, I see some of the same names come up to, just spoiling for a fight. And really, people knock it off. You're driving me nuts. You're not helping. And even people who worked in the film, they'll do stuff that people find insulting to the fans of the characters. And if you go watch it, enjoy it or don't enjoy it, or just don't watch it and stop fussing.
Well, as a certain rabbit's father once said, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all.
Don't say nothing at all.
Well, that too.
yeah. It's like, because there's no reason to be fighting over each other. Just, if you don't want to see it, then just don't go see it. And if you do see it and you enjoy it, you should be able to say so. I actually had two different conversations, I guess it was, because I said stuff that I liked about it, but because I liked it, somebody actually said, oh, you just don't read the comics then. I almost wanted to take a picture of all the piles of comics, because I can't seem to keep myself organized, that I have here in the home. I'm like, I guess I just don't read these. So, but that's, you like the movie, you just don't read the comics, because otherwise you would hate the movie. Why does that mean whether or not I have to, whether or not I can enjoy a movie or have fun at the theater? And of course, the other thing that I got thrown at me, because I had a comment, there's an element of the film that I didn't enjoy, and I gave a reason for it. And somebody there said, you're just clinging too hard to the comics. So I can't win. And I'm done with all of you. y'all could go somewhere else and fight about the movie. I had fun. I could see where there's some stuff to be a little annoying, but really it wasn't as annoying as it could have been at all. And I actually had a good time and I had fun, which is why I go to the movies, because I want to have fun. So whenever you get a chance to go see it, I think you're all going to have a good time.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but there's a few other movies that I am looking forward to, though. I hear that there's been a bit of a reversal, one of the recent Marvel movie decisions. Somebody's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to that. We haven't even gotten into the news yet. we're still in what we call in the show notes host chatter. So we've got some good news information already thrown in, but there's one more thing I wanted to get into.
Well, and I'm just trying to be. I completely blank out on the term now. But
forward
thinking. To tie it all together.
Segue. But I have one more thing it's not news, so I couldn't put it in the news, but it's something I wanted to bring up that I thought was interesting. But the South by Southwest Festival went on this past week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I actually had another fellow student of UCM who actually got a chance to go out there. And he's big and he wants to make films. And you can see a lot of independent filmmakers and stuff. But Frank Oz and I think some other Muppet performers were out kind of giving a little panel out there. And Sci-Fi Wire was there and shared a little bit of what Frank Oz said, which I found to be interesting. He has at one point, he says, "I'm not a children's performer. We've never once thought about children when we did Sesame Street or The Muppets or anything else. I was a child. I didn't know what I wanted. How can an adult tell what a child wants?" The pure quality I'm talking about, because he starts talking about the quality of the stuff, but he says, "The pure quality I'm talking about is the purity of character. I had to turn the Muppet thing off, the ABC series, after 15 minutes. Fozzie had a girlfriend and he drank some wine. I don't know. It totally destroyed Fozzie. Destroyed. The reason you guys love them is because we were true to their character. That's why you love them. They touch your heart." And he goes, and he mentions something else. "In general, I start to vomit when things get too smarmy," because he said he didn't like the 2011 Muppets film. "See, when it gets overly sentimental and sweet, I just start to vomit. It's all because Disney doesn't understand purity, and I'm going to get in so much trouble now," he adds with a grin. And some other stuff that I heard that he had talked about, that like Sesame Street, sure, yes, it's children's television, but they didn't treat it like they were talking to kids when they would make it when he was there. They were, you know, giving education, but he didn't feel like they catered too much to children. They just made good stuff that kids would enjoy and could learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think with some of the later years and some other stuff I've seen on Sesame Street, it does feel more preschoolish. With little bits I've seen, but you know, I don't sit around watching Sesame Street, so I might be completely off base, but little things that I've seen and some of the characters, something just doesn't feel the same. But it might be my own nostalgia. I might be full of garbage, you know. But there's definitely, you can tell the difference with the Muppets. There is something missing, and that I think is why also that ABC series didn't work, is because they tried to do something different. But, you know, towards the end of it, I think they figured out, you know, where they were going and where the characters. And I started to be able to settle in. I was seeing the Muppets starting to be more like themselves. But when you put them in an area and you try to make them as if they were real people and not in a Muppet mayhem sort of way, it did lose something of the characters.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, that was, you know, as much as I love being able to see the Muppets back on TV. You know, that really was a major issue with the series, is that it didn't feel authentic to the characters that we knew, and I think he hits the nail on the head right there. You know, Frank Oz, these are characters to him. They are not voices. They're not affectations that he puts on. It's not something that he, you know, necessarily will do as a performance. These are characters to him. And you know, when he sees Fozzie drinking wine and acting out of character, he is going to speak out about it. I noticed that he's also been, you know, a bit more vocal on Twitter recently. He got into an exchange with a person who, you know, kind of said Yoda wouldn't do that. And Frank Oz says, "I think I know Yoda pretty well, and yeah, he would do that." So he's definitely known for being outspoken about his characters.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I wonder if what the discussion was Yoda's behavior in The Last Jedi. Because I saw some people, that didn't seem like Yoda. I'm like, actually, it does.
Yeah.
With him laughing at Luke and like, "Oh, missed you, I have." That felt like when we first met Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back, where he has a sense of humor. And he'll kind of rib you a little bit to just see what you're made of and teach you something at the same time. I was like, that was totally Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
But we better get rolling into some news because, you know, there's some stuff you've been wanting to talk about here anyway.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, you alluded to this a little bit ago. Let's just say they've rearmed the gun. That was funny. Oh, come on. James Gunn is back to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and I'm interested that the announcement of this came on the heels almost, you know, like less than a week after we heard that they're going to go ahead and use the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 script. So they did that, and then that might have been testing the waters, that when everybody was okay with that, they figured, well, let's go ahead and tell everybody we're going to bring James Gunn back. You know, it's like he got put in timeout for a little bit for what he did. Now, I'm sure there's plenty of people who maybe are not pleased about this because of what he has said in Twitter. I've seen where people definitely want to hold more people accountable to what they do on social media when they work for Disney in some capacity. And there maybe should be some accountability. But I kind of expected James Gunn was going to be allowed back. I don't know if I was expecting him to be able to come back this soon. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with other people I've seen where they just want to, you know, clean slate. Like, hey, if you say something like this to where maybe you've insulted a fan by calling the fans this or saying the fans are wrong because of this, that they'd like to get rid of them. And if they're not getting rid of them, maybe it needs to go all the way to the top of Bob Iger needs to be removed. So I've seen that level of where people have issues with people do on Twitter. And I can understand that. It's understandable. But I think James Gunn learned his lesson. I don't think he was maybe off away long enough, but I can understand maybe the decision that they want to move forward with the film, and they really wanted James Gunn to come back with it. So I get it. It makes sense. And I just want to see the movie.
Yeah. Well, and they had already announced, you know, months ago, back after he was let go, that they were going to be using his script for the third film. But in the meantime, he's now working with DC, and he's penned the new version of Suicide Squad. That's going to be coming out. But what they've assured us is that his work on Suicide is not going to affect the work he'll be doing on Guardians 3, and right. Vice versa. So, you know, all the more power to him, and let's see what's next for the group. You know, hopefully this will also stymie the kind of backlash that, now I'm blanking out on his name.
Like Johnny Depp?
Depp. We'll talk about Johnny Depp here in a moment. Dave Bautista.
Oh, yeah, because he did fling some insults and was mad about the James Gunn firing. So I'm sure he's settled down by now.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
It seems like there's, this is going around Hollywood a bit now because we're also learning about Johnny Depp. You'll remember last year there was a lot of, there was quite a bit of backlash against his casting as Grindelwald because at that point, in the height of the Me Too movement, he had been accused of abusing his partner Amber Heard.
Ex-wife now.
Yes.
Which people might recognize Amber Heard from Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
She played the female lead there. But this is very interesting how this has kind of come together because, you know, you heard rumor that she was saying some things, but yet if he had been a full abuser and had harmed her, she should have pressed some charges, but she didn't seem to ever want to do that. So I didn't know what was going on. I've said it many times, like, okay, if he's done something, file some charges and get this this dealt with. Mm-hmm. But this kept a lot of people from going to see The Crimes of Grindelwald, and I did give it a positive review, and even his performance, I gave a positive review. But it's recently come to light. They have surveillance video and all kinds of stuff showing that Heard may have actually been an abuser to Johnny Depp. And they're saying it seems ridiculous. Johnny Depp, who's been married more than once, has never hit his wives before. And why he would suddenly start doing it now didn't make a lot of sense. But Johnny Depp is now presenting evidence and filing a lawsuit against her for all the stuff she has been saying, like defamation of character, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Johnny Depp's clearing his name. Now, this is how I found this interesting. While I was out shopping for clothing yesterday, I wanted to buy a copy of The Crimes of Grindelwald, and I couldn't find it. It was sold out everywhere all of a sudden.
Huh.
So I'm thinking maybe that since this news is getting out there, people are like, oh, maybe we go ahead and see this movie, because I think a lot of people did kind of, no, I don't want to see it. I don't like Johnny Depp anymore. But now the people are like, oh, maybe he's not who we thought he was. Maybe let's go ahead and watch it. And so people are running out and buying the movie, which is great. But I want a copy too, people. Come on.
sounds almost like me. I was trying to find a copy of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse yesterday. And yeah, then I realized it comes out on Tuesday.
You can buy it digitally now. But
I just realized it didn't come out yet.
But yeah, Tuesday. I'm excited for that one because I like that movie. That was fun.
Well, and that's not the only movie coming out this Tuesday, though.
Mary Poppins Returns comes out Tuesday, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. I got to go spend money on movies now. I'm going to blow out my tax return going and buying movies now. But they were so good.
Oh, yes. Well, I've been doing my best to try and blow out, my tax return on movies. I just bought several seasons of 24.
Herbie Rides Again?
Yeah, Herbie Rides Again and the Ocean's 11 movies. So, no better time, right?
If you saved yourself $20, I saw the complete Knight Rider series out on DVD. I also, for $40, you can buy all 10 seasons of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series from the 80s.
I was that close to getting volume 1 of The Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, man.
And the first season of Chuck.
Oh, did you find the first season of Chuck still in stores? I had to buy the whole thing online.
Well, this was a used video game, movie, and record and CD store.
Ah, because I've got the entire series of Chuck on Blu-ray. Because I had to buy it on Amazon as a used copy. Because I had to get it.
That's why I brought it up. But, the great thing is we can delve back into our maybe even recent history, but our youth and our childhood and relive these things. But, have you ever heard of Shang-Chi?
The only familiarity I have with Shang-Chi is for a while Spider-Man lost his spider sense. And a lot of his fighting style is based on his spider sense. But Shang-Chi came along and taught him they helped develop a version of Kung Fu where basically it was like spider fu. It was Shang-Chi taught him a way to be able to use a Kung Fu style that fit with his spider-like abilities, and to where it didn't matter about his spider sense for a while. He was learning to fight a new fashion. So that's the only familiarity I have with him, and I think he does run around with Iron Fist occasionally, doesn't he?
On rare occasion. He did some work with Colleen Wing.
Shang-Chi was actually a product of the 1970s and the whole Kung Fu phenomenon, thanks to Bruce Lee.
I can't help it every time I hear it.
In this case, Shang-Chi starred in the comic The Hands of Kung Fu. Shang-Chi happens to be the son of Man too, which got problematic when it comes to copyrights and what Marvel was allowed to do. Shang-Chi was their own original character, but they claimed that he was the son of Fu Manchu, and that's where things got a little bit dicey. Anyhow, he really is a master of all forms of Kung Fu, and has been known to work with Danny Rand, with Peter, with the Domino comics. And helping Domino try and overcome and not have to rely upon her luck powers. However, we're learning this week that Marvel has got a Shang-Chi movie in the works.
Which is neat. He's kind of this barely known Marvel character. And really, it seems the motivation might be because they want to have an Asian lead character. Just to do something different, because they thought, well, we don't have any Asian characters in a film yet we have Asian characters in the comics, and so I'm like, cool, if you make a good movie, I'm gonna go. I do hope that they focus more on making a good movie than they do focusing on the fact, look, we have an Asian character, you know what I mean?
But they had Jimmy Wong in Ant-Man.
They did, but he wasn't like a lead character, This is an Asian superhero character.
Well, I would love to see an Agents of Atlas with Jimmy Wong as a lead in that.
They start pulling some smaller characters or lesser knowns, and
there's a lot of things they can do with that, you know, just because, heck, I mean, they even, although Disney's version was very different from the comics, I mean, they can pull Big Hero 6 out and make a fun movie out of that. I think they can do it, you know, with a lot of these unknown characters. You can do a lot. Mm-hmm. So, we're starting a new phase.
With Marvel, they've got over 8,000 characters that they can use.
Yes. So, and we've actually got a director, Destin Daniel Cretton. I hope that's the way you say it.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, because it's better be Cretton and not Cretan. Although I can't help it, I hear Monsters Incorporated. It's pronounced Cretan, not Cretton. Get it, if you're going to insult somebody, at least get it right. You know, something like that. But he's done some independent films like Short Term 12, which actually had Brie Larson in it. Glass Castle. He actually did direct Michael B. Jordan in Just Mercy. And so he's got some small movie credits of like some independent type of film. But here's something that's exciting. The Wonder Woman 1984 screenwriter Dave Callahan is actually writing the script for Shang-Chi. Or maybe it's supposed to be pronounced Shang-Chi. I don't know. Which, I don't know if Dave Callahan, I don't think he wrote the original Wonder Woman, but, you know, it's a nice connection either way.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a lot of choices available.
Yeah.
A lot of different ways that they can make this adventure go.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to sit down and draw your cards and go from there. Which, I already told this thing to unblock the ads, and yet I'm trying to bring up this page where it talked about this this game, so I can't get all the details I was just looking at, because everything's being bad. But there's a choose-your-own-adventure game that is available, actually, on Amazon for about $23, according to the website, and it's based off one of the particular books, but somehow or other the gameplay is like a choose-your-own-adventure-style story that you kind of make as you go, as part of the game. I don't know any more details about it than that, though.
Well, it does say that you're in the role of a psychic detective gathering clues and objects to solve the mystery of a haunted mansion.
Did you say haunted mansion?
A haunted mansion. Not the haunted mansion, but a haunted mansion.
Oh, but how cool would it be? You know what? I would still break out some haunted mansion music and play it while I was playing the game.
There you go. As long as the good... You know, I'll tell you, this trip that I just took, I learned something new about the haunted mansion in Disney World. Ghosts like to play with you, so as long as they don't take your head off of your body and put it onto theirs in this game, like was happened to me in the ride, it should be good.
Well, even if it does, that can be an enjoyable experience, I suppose. As long as they don't kill you when they pull your head off.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, if your head does get detached from your body, a good merger can fix everything.
Yes, it can. Even if it involves small dog-like creatures.
like foxes, for example. So
yeah.
And as much as I really want to say on this is, as this will be Wednesday this week, March 20th, the merger is supposed to be complete.
Just foxes in time for Endgame to introduce... Well, I was just going to say, just in time for Endgame to introduce the Fantastic Four.
That would be nice. Because I would like to see the Fantastic Four come in. Because now that we have Skrulls in the MCU, I want to see the Secret Invasion. Or something. You know, or a Super Skrull. I want to see that develop a little bit. So. And, you know,
even if they give him a little miniature. So.
Yeah, and that's why I can't say anymore. But, you know, and I can talk about something pretty small. You know, we can rock out a little bit. I can't get a good segue on this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we'll get a good director, Krennic. And Krennic kind of sounds like some kind of a rock formation.
He kind of does. But KidRobot.com this week, I guess they're the manufacturer of these as well. Yeah, it looks like they're the manufacturer. But they have shown that they've released some Fraggle Rock vinyl mini figures, and they look, and the body seems to have, well, at least the Doozers, they remind me a lot of the old, they were vinyl ones. They had the goofy heads, and the companies come back, but they were before Funko Pop figures started coming around. And I cannot think of it. I have some of them, and now I don't know what to call them. They're on my shelf in my room, and I'm in the studio. But they kind of have
Wacky
that.
Wacky Wobblers or Mighty Mugs?
Mighty Mugs. Yes, they have the body shape of a Mighty Mug, but they have different. I mean, you got Doozers, you've got Fraggles here, and there's. Oh my gosh, these are cute. They even have keychains of their heads. But they come in blind box little cases. They're little blind boxes. So you can buy them individually, and you can even buy them online at kidrobot.com. $9.99 for each one, or $5.99 will get you a keychain, but that's also a blind box. I don't think I even had to pay that much for those He-Man figures that were mini, so this seems a little expensive, but let's face it, they're Fraggles. We're going to pay it.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, these Doozers look more like Mickey Vinyl Nation figures. But
they kind of do. Yeah. They kind of that same kind of, chubby body shape.
Yeah.
Either way, we want it, and especially now we're hearing even more about like some Fraggle Rock. I can't remember, were they making more, or are they just going to be putting some of the episodes back on somewhere? I know we came across it like a while ago.
They were making a movie.
Yeah, we know that much. They were supposed to be a movie. Either way, we're going to have
Maybe we'll hear some more. Ooh.
That's right.
Maybe
it was
we'll
a.
Hear some more if they finish.
Well, I think
I'm going to say maybe we'll hear some more after they finish Dark Crystal.
There we go. Now we hear it all. But I think what I was thinking of is their Blu-ray anniversary release happened a while back.
Hmm.
Yeah, a couple months ago. That's what I was thinking of some of the original series is back out there. So, but that's everything we have for news, and we need to get to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him all. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
They're over there. Get them. Stop. Please. You three get back here.
You stumbled upon an opportunity. I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
One who summons me, I stand by my oath, loyalty to Wishes 3.
I'm kidding. Watch this.
Watch out! You done wound me up. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
You look like a prince on the outside, but I didn't change anything on the inside. Showtime.
No, I'm in charge, okay? I say when it's time. Really? I thought a princess could go anywhere.
Not this princess.
Do you trust me?
So that first look, we've had a teaser for Aladdin. We saw that one trailer, and we got a look at Will Smith as a genie, and most of us were not impressed with that look. But we got a better look at him now in this trailer. And I got to say, this looks better, although I think my fears are becoming true, because this does come across as Will Smith playing the genie. But that might be okay, because really the genie was pretty much Robin Williams being Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess I can be a little forgiving. But, you know, this it still looked fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think, you know, if this is the direction they're going to go, I think it's definitely a nice change. And it's going to be appropriate for, you know, the new figure that the genie actually is going to be, or the, you know, the new way he's going to be presented. So,
and I love it. The opening,
but, we
do get to see some of, you know, I've been talking before about, I can imagine with live action, some of the chases with Aladdin running from the guards, you could do some fun kind of parkour stuff around Agrabah. And it looks like that's what we're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, you know, my feelings about Disney remakes of their animated classics. I'm going to reserve my judgment until I can actually see it.
Yeah. And I try to think of them as a separate film, really, because you have to, a separate film from the animated. So though I'm going to come with a preconceived, I love the animated, I try to look at the film and try to credit it on its own merits. And that's probably why I've managed to enjoy most of these. So I'm going to give one a try.
As long as you don't do it with a snap judgment.
Right. Because that might just end the game.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave. Became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is to start over.
All these people die. I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. This one.
Now, this trailer for Avengers Endgame, we know enough about what's happening. I mean, we know where we've left off things. So they're basically now finding new ways to kind of keep us excited. So they're not really giving us much. But the main thing, my takeaway from this was those new uniforms where they all have that white on them.
Yeah.
I bet they're going to space. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe these are space uniforms.
I'm thinking maybe not space, maybe a little bit more inner than space.
Inner space? They're going to go out?
Perhaps.
They're going to get injected into Martin Short's body?
As a cowboy. I would bet that they go into the quantum realm.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, dude. That could be interesting. I don't know what all they would do in there, but that would be pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. But except for that, the difficulty would be in building shrinking suits for everybody, because I forgot Ant-Man's name. Sean? No. Wow. Scott.
Hank Pym. Scott.
Oh, yeah, well, Scott. Hank Pym is not around. He got poofed.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Scott. And he doesn't know how to build this thing.
Nope.
So I don't see this as happening.
They don't. But, you know, they might have access to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s information. They might have access to the Yellow Jacket info.
Maybe. It's an interesting theory. That would be interesting. Just to see. I don't know why they would go into the quantum realm, but that'd be a nice surprise. Just, you know, that they have to go into the quantum realm with some another to do something. And who knows?
Well, just stay away from the time vortices.
Yeah. Huh. Very. Who knows? Oh man. That's a possibility. Let's think of that. Part of my thought is that if they manage to get any sort of a distress call from Tony Stark, Captain Marvel can fly through space. Maybe Captain Marvel could be the one that could retrieve Tony Stark, and not Gamora, but Nebula. She'd be perfect to be able to go and get them. So I'm thinking that's a possibility. I've almost forgot something we wanted to mention about Aladdin. I don't know who he's playing, but Alan Tudyk is voicing a character in Aladdin.
I know who he's playing.
How did you find out? Because they didn't say who he was. They're keeping a surprise, I thought.
It was announced, you know.
Really?
Out of all the characters from the original movie that actually did have a speaking role.
Is he Iago?
He is Iago.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he goes from playing the chicken Hey Hey to the parrot Iago.
Oh my gosh, he's got to be hilarious at that. Oh. Oh, because I had wondered who would you get, and I was thinking, well, maybe Iago just won't talk this time, but oh, that's perfect. Oh my goodness. Oh. See, I'm totally there now. Alan Tudyk is Iago. Oh, I'm excited. I'm almost...
Oh, but just watch. I was just going to say, but what we'll get from him now are just confused chicken sounds.
Could be. But I'm almost as excited now for Aladdin as I am for our next trailer, Shazam!
David Batson, I choose you as a champion. So my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say the key!
Say my name.
Shazam!
That's crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
This is proof of authenticity. Super strength. Electricity manipulation. Hyper speed.
I'd like to purchase some of your finest beer, please.
And Sparkle Fingers.
No, it's not. That's not my name.
Chosen One.
Oh, you're like a bad guy, right?
You literally did the opposite of what a superhero is supposed to do.
You're him. You're the hero.
You're welcome for not getting wrong.
I'm Batman.
Get him, Batman!
How old are you?
Basically 15.
Yeah, you electrocuted a bus and almost killed these people.
And then I caught it!
You can leave tall buildings in a single bound.
I'm so sorry.
Every look at this movie looks more fun. Every time...
I'm sorry, I didn't get his name. What's his name?
Shazam!
What? His name is, huh?
My name is exactly. Oh my goodness. I can't help it. Every time I get a look at this movie, I laugh a little bit more. I smile a little bit more. I am super excited for this movie. And we even got to see a little bit of, you know, him having to fight the villain a little bit.
Dr. Savannah, I have to wonder if Mr. Mind isn't in there somewhere as well.
I don't know anything about any of those other characters. So I'm just going to smile and say, I'm going to get surprised. But I do wonder because...
Oh, no, we've got...
We were hearing about Black Adam and The Rock playing Black Adam a long time ago. I don't know what happened to it with that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I hope they didn't scrap that.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think that if The Rock were involved in this, he'd be part of the media campaign for it.
Yeah.
But it would also be a good follow-up for a sequel.
Yeah. Plus, it was, I think they were even talking about having a Black Adam film.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I'm...
You know, I think you hit it on the head, Phil. You know, this movie just looks like fun.
Yes.
With, you know, with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, they weren't fun.
Right.
They weren't fun. And they had very little moments in them that could even be confused with being fun. You know, certainly with some of the changes we saw in Justice League, and Wonder Woman, I wouldn't say that was fun, but it was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But and I haven't seen Aquaman yet, and I think that's another fun one from what I've heard from others.
It was epic. So,
yeah, and so I think that Shazam is definitely going to bring the fun. Now, it kind of troubles me that, you know, we know Ezra Miller, who plays The Flash, is now getting involved in writing the script for the Flash movie. And from what I'm hearing, he kind of wants it to go dark. And I'm kind of like, you know, that, no.
Mm.
DC Universe is about hope. It's about, you know, the grim, dirty, dark is Batman, but Superman's about hope. Flash is about having fun and having Flash facts. Shazam, it's about... It's big.
Yeah.
As a superhero. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be goofy. It's supposed to have a talking tiger in it.
Talking tiger?
And I hope we get... Oh, yeah. Talkie Tawny.
See, I might have to look up some Shazam comics and just read some comics, because I'm not that familiar with the character. I think I've seen more of the character in video games now with that Injustice game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was only in one Injustice game because something really bad happens in story mode, which is like, oh, that's so not cool. So, yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Shazam has to bring, you know, and hey, we'll have our second Captain Marvel movie of the year.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and the nice thing, though, about, you know, I had somewhere I was going to go with this, and I lost it. But I'm already just a fan of Zach Levi anyway after Chuck, and so I'm just excited for him playing a superhero character. And I had somewhere I was going to go with that, and I have no idea where it was that I was going with it. I lost it entirely. Yep. Speaking of Chuck, this does remind me of something. I gotta throw in a series I'm loving. I'm behind some episodes now, but. It's almost like the follow-up to Chuck, and it's an ABC show, so it's technically Disney. But have you gotten to watch any of Whiskey Cavalier yet?
Haven't even heard of it.
It is an ABC series. It even has the female lead actually was in a season of Chuck as Timothy Dalton's daughter. But it carries a lot of the same feel and vibe of Chuck, of being this crazy spy thing, and the merging of two different spy departments having to forced to work together with some really fun characters thrown in. I'm highly recommending it if you can watch it back on demand. It looks to be very a lot of fun. I've only watched the first episode, but I was completely hooked. I've watched a little bit of the second episode, and even something that happens at the beginning of the episode is a lot of fun. And it's neat because they all still have to have a cover of working in some sort of regular place. So it's hitting a lot of the same Chuck buttons. But it's a Disney series because it's ABC. So Whiskey Cavalier, if you have y'all have not watched it, I do recommend it. It is fun. I enjoyed that first episode a whole bunch. But all right. I suppose we should jump over to, well, it's sort of a movie review, but, you know, it's not a new movie.
It was a different time. It was a time of destiny. A time when a child could tip the balance between good and evil.
Why, with my powers, with the strength of my great army, can you not find one little child?
A time for an unlikely hero named Willow.
Tell her I'm not gonna let anything happen to the baby.
We gotta get that baby to somebody.
I'm somebody.
A time of scoundrels.
What goes on here?
Uh-oh.
And a time of rebels.
You are great.
After them!
You're gonna get us killed!
You're a great warrior and a swordsman. And you're 10 times bigger than I am, stupid!
Find the child.
Find the child!
It was a time when courage could be found where you'd least expect it. A time when unearthly powers raged and good men risked their lives. A time of great adventure. From the creator of Star Wars and the director of Cocoon, Willow.
So, and this, you know, this is our kind of our main topic here, but we are running shy on time here, but we have to talk about this. Willow is hitting its 30-year anniversary, or I think it hit it in 2018, though, because it came out in 1988, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, it's 30 years.
I'll tell you, just going to say, for a movie to come out in 1988, it was very groundbreaking, but let's take a look at the pedigree it has. It's the story of George Lucas, produced by directed by Ron Howard.
Yeah, so, and for anyone who couldn't hear because he garbled out there on his phone, we're having all kinds of issues. But yes, so you have a George Lucas written fantasy film, Ron Howard, director of Cocoon, and he's done a lot, and hey, now Solo. Splash, yes, and heck, Splash and Touchstone actually had its anniversary this year as well. So lots of crazy stuff going on here. My goodness. But this had everything it needed. And I mean, really, this is what made Val Kilmer a household name to me. Because I mean, and he had a good role in Top Gun, but he wasn't like the lead. And I would not have known that guy was an actor named Val Kilmer, you know, until
he was Iceman, not Val Kilmer.
Right. He was just that Iceman guy, you know, like, you know, and he was the jerk guy until the end when he's like, hey, you can be my wingman anytime. So I hope he gets to come back in the sequel of Top Gun, by the way. So I hope he's there because I like Val Kilmer. He's just cool. But having this movie back out and also getting Warwick Davis, which we're nerds. We love Warwick Davis. You know, we all love Warwick.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a rule of thumb. He's in nearly every film we love with George Lucas involved. He's there. We love the guy. So him getting to be the lead and an epic fantasy that's I think it tried to be Tolkien-esque, but not quite. It didn't quite hit it, but it still hit that levels of magic. And my goodness, you got Billy Barty.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. Billy, you got to love Billy. He's Figment. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is this being Gwildor. A Lucasfilm. Yeah, Gwildor, too. But this being a Lucasfilm movie, this is a Disney property. When I bought this yesterday, it had a Disney movie rewards code.
Yeah.
So Willow is a Disney film. Now give me a sequel where we see a Laura Dan and all grown up.
Well, there's three novels that talk about that.
Oh, well, but I heard the novels, some of them, were they really weren't good.
Oh, they're still written by George Lucas, so.
Oh, and sometimes he's very Take good, and sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
But the part that got me... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, for a 30-year-old movie, the transfer to Blu-ray looks really good. I mean, you've got, you know, 80s film techniques that, you know, are going to be hard to look better without going in and completely redoing them. But, you know, for what it is, it looks good and it sounds wonderful.
Good. See, I haven't got a chance to sit and watch it, but I did watch some special features. But one of the special features, the one that got me the most excited, was some deleted scenes with Sorsha. But to order explain how this is exciting, I did go over to willowufgood.fandom.com, and you go through some of the biography of Bav Morda, which this is partially inspired by. There's a podcast called Fauxhentric History, where they take fictional stories and treat them like they'll report on it like it's a history thing. And they went through some of the history of Bav Morda. And she's got actually a very interesting backstory. I mean, she's born in the Valley of Tirislene, actually. So, you know, Tirislene, the big kingdom in there. And she was, you know, all these animals kind of started making noise at the hour of her birth. But she turned out to be very, very powerful. You know, they knew there's destiny. She was going to be a powerful enchantress. And she was born a little bit after Finn Razel, which we'll see. You know, she comes up in the film. If you haven't seen this movie, you're going to have to just watch it. But they actually trained in magic together at Tirislene. Now, the interesting thing is Bav Morda was a little bit selfish, and she was also she craved power. And Finn Razel actually had fallen in love with the prince of Tirislene. And they were actually engaged to get married. But Bav Morda, wanting power so much, and she actually disappeared for a year. When she came back, Bav Morda put a spell on Mikhail Tantalos, who was the prince, and he married Bav Morda, and so she gained some royal authority of sorts. She needed to get rid of the king and queen, though, and so they disappeared under mysterious circumstances. That Finn Razel was not fooled. She knew something was up. Major incident happens, though. Finn Razel, as we know in the film, got turned into an animal. And Bav Morda actually then cursed everybody in Tirislene, which we find out they're all still alive. So she's cursed everybody and fled to Nakmor and began her reign of terror there from Nakmor after having a daughter who maybe had a little bit more of her father's personality, although Bav Morda tried her best to instill the hate of her own personality and the power madness. You know, she basically tried to groom Sorsha to be more like herself, but there was that little bit of goodness still in her to be similar to her father. But now these deleted scenes that were cut from the film, and please, Ron Howard, if you listen to my show, maybe I'm going to tweet you, can we have an extended cut of the film where you put these back in? Because they have a conversation when Sorsha has captured Madding Mardigan and Willow and Finn Razel. Finn Razel mentions to Sorsha, like, you know, this, what would your father think about this? But she kind of starts talking about her father, and Sorsha says, well, my father was pathetic. I never even met him. He left when I was a baby. So, you know, she's been lied to pretty much about her father all this time. And then you see another scene after, you know, the Mad Mardigan kind of has her on his horse after they've escaped and taken her with them. And she asks Mad Mardigan, where are you taking me? And Mad Mardigan kind of grins and says, we're going to take you to see your father in Tirislene. And so that's a nice little throw in. And then there's a shot when she gets to Tirislene with her own army. She looks at one of these stone figures and she sees this old man with this long white beard and a crown. And he's still alive in that stone. And he says, Sorsha, I would know my own daughter. Sorsha, help me. I am your father. And you have all this buildup now to her father. And she realized what her mother did to her father. Her father didn't abandon her. She cursed him. And then they show another deleted scene where you have towards the end of the movie during the final confrontation. There's a moment where Sorsha steps towards Bav Morda and just says, Mother! And they've cut out an entire bit of dialogue where Bav Morda's like, oh, you've seen your father at Tirislene, haven't you? And that's what she says to her, actually, right before she goes, "Treacherous child, I must despise you now." But you have more of a buildup where you see Saoirse having this conflict of, because it was a nice bit of change for her, you know, when she feels a little bit of love and attraction to Mad Mardigan, that stirs something in her that she's never felt, because all she's known is hate and anger. To have like a feeling of love come up inside her would maybe change her a bit. But also seeing that she's been lied to about her father and seeing just how evil her mother really is seems to help feed and give her a bit more of a character arc. And so there's deleted scenes on this, these extras, that I highly recommend you watch if you're a fan of the film. If you've never seen this film, you need to buy it and watch it with the kids. Get the family together. It's such a great movie anyway. And the soundtrack is amazing. It's James Horner. Ugh, it's a great film. The critics gave it a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, but what do critics know? You know what? This is a great, fun movie. And yeah, oh my gosh.
And I'll tell you. Oh, I was just going to say, I watched it with my kids, and they thoroughly enjoyed it.
Of course they did. It's a great movie for them kids. But one of the things that was exciting.
They also liked it when the bird left its gift on the one character. But
of course, it's gross, but it's funny. That guy got splattered with a lot of stuff. But some fun facts, though, that were also in some of these special features, and there's even two features talking about it. This, I mean, granted, you had the first sort of computer-generated character in Young Sherlock Holmes. You have the stained glass window knight that they pulled out, which looks pretty good for its time in computer. But this is the first time they really took film and digitized the film, you know, translated into digital, so they could do a brand new technique called morphing, mainly for when they had Razel being turned into all these different animals and then finally turned into a woman. Normally you would do a lot of cutaways while these changes happened, or you would do some other stuff. But with a mixture of puppets that Dennis Muren would make, because Dennis Muren was – he's the king of effects, really. Him and Stan Winston. But Dennis Muren, I mean, he did all the stuff for Star Wars and so many different films. But, you know, he really wanted to try this new digital way of doing things. And, I mean, this was the beginning, really, of the digital effects era, was this film and doing this morphing technique that they had never been tried before. And they weren't even sure if it was going to work. But there's two great special features on there worth watching about this, and watching how they did it and how they did the experiment. And now it's almost a household thing. You could do this stuff on Adobe Premiere Pro, you know?
Yeah.
It's really cool to just see, like, this was the beginning of these digital effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I share my favorite fun fact about this movie?
Go for it.
All right. The dragon towards the end of the second act is named the Eborsisk. Do you know where that name came from?
Roger Ebert and Siskel, or Siskel and Ebert.
Two thumbs up. Exactly.
They didn't like the movie, of all things.
Mm-hmm. And also, Vic Armstrong's character, General Kale, it has been heavily rumored that that name comes from the critic Pauline Kael.
Huh. I don't know if I know who that is, but that's kind of funny.
Yeah, she. I don't think she cared for it either. But
that's okay. If they didn't like it, it wasn't made for them.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a joke in that. Oh, but something else I just found just today while doing some of the research, because I wanted to dig in and see, you know, what some of the details of Vav Morta that I'd heard on Authentic History, and also how it relates to these deleted scenes. There was a Willow source book, which is a 90-page role-playing game source book that's written up by Alan Varney and published by Tor Books in 1988. It was a Dungeons & Dragons style game. And it has all kinds of information, even about some of the characters and the magic and all this stuff. I don't know if I could find this in an online store. I probably could and pay like $200 for it, I bet. But I would kind of like to get my hands on this just for the information. Oh, Burgleka, by the way, is the guy that you're thinking of that gets spooked on. I had to find his name in the list in order to remember it, because... But one thing very interesting about the movie that I hadn't thought of until they mentioned on Authentic History, but Alora Dannon, she's got this mark on it, and she's supposed to be the one that overthrows Bav Morta, but really she doesn't overthrow Bav Morta. But if you look at it, how the prophecy really was, is the prophecy existing fulfills itself, because when Laura Dana comes into the world, she triggers events that causes the downfall of Bev Morda.
Who in turn is her own worst enemy.
Yeah, pretty much. Not to spoil the ending for anyone who hasn't watched this yet. But I thought that was actually interesting. Like, because Laura Dana, she's a baby the whole time, so she doesn't actually overthrow Bev Morda. But her coming into the world sets off a series of events that sends Willow Ufgood out there to become the unlikely hero. And it's just a great movie. And I remember this came out in 1988. I didn't get to see it in theaters. I saw it later on HBO. But there were trading cards that came with some sort of a, I don't remember if it was a fast food or what, but I remember I had little trading cards of the brownies that came with some sort of a product, whether it was fast food or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who had the cards at all. If somebody remembers, let us know. But there was merchandise. Okay. There were toys and all kinds of stuff.
For some reason, Hardee's comes to mind.
It may have been. But I am seeing, though, on the Phantom, there's Shadow Moon and Shadow Star. There was also, of course, a Nintendo game. There was an arcade game. I think Shadow Moon and Shadow Moon was written by George Lucas and Chris Claremont. And this, I think, is the original sequel. And it's the first in the novel of the Chronicles of the Shadow War trilogy. Now, people have said that it wasn't any good, but I mean, it's got a heck of a pedigree with Chris Claremont even helping to write this. And Shadow Star was the third book. What was the second book, I wonder?
Shadow something.
Yeah, I bet so. Part of me wants to track down, because apparently an audiobook does exist.
Yeah.
Oh, look, soundtrack playing in your phone. There's a copyright violation.
Good thing we're talking over it, eh?
But I kind of would like to go through the books, and you know, even if they make movies and they don't base them off of those books, I mean, right now Disney does seem to be on a kick. They would like to have some women heroes. Well, Laura Dannon would fit perfectly in there to have her have an adventure. Oh, I want her to be worthy of this birthmark that meant so much in this prophecy, that she was somehow or another going to save their world as well. So
if she had a mentor in Sorsha,
oh,
all the better.
Yes. Oh, which actually reminds me of something I forgot I wanted to look up. I'm gonna look this up real quick. Because one of the things I find to be very, very fun is that Val Kilmer met Joanne Whalley, or Whaler, I think it's Whalley in there. Because she was Sorsha, and they got married. I wondered how long, if they were like still maybe married, but no, I see that they divorced in 1996. Right. I was hoping it'd be a cute Hollywood story, but I guess it might be the only person he's ever actually married. Because it's the only, on Wikipedia, that's the only mention that they have of any sort of marriage. But yeah, personal life. Says Kilmer was married to actress Joanne Whalley from March 1988 to February 1996. The two met while working on the film Willow. The couple had two children, a daughter, Mercedes, and a son, Jack. Kilmer has gotten into feuds with some of the actors with whom he has worked, notably on The Island of Dr. Moreau, co-star Marlon Brando, and Red Planet with Heat co-star Tom Sizemore. Doesn't say anything about him ever getting married again. I don't know what went wrong. That's kind of sad, because it seems like it could have been a cute Hollywood story, but it's just a typical Hollywood story.
Typical Hollywood stories.
Yeah.
Coming to you from the Neverland podcast.
Exactly.
Trying to make that like a VH1.
Yeah. But ooh, it did mention in the Hollywood Reporter at one point, he did have a 2-year battle with throat cancer. He produced a rasp and it rendered him actually short of breath. That might be why we haven't seen much of him in a long time. He does have an appearance in a music video in 2016 playing himself. But the last acting he really got to do was in an episode of Psych in 2014. He was Detective Dobson in an episode called The Breakup. But that seems to be about the time of that tumor. Because in January 2015 is when he was hospitalized for a possible tumor, and that's when they found it. So I hope wherever he's at, he's doing well. I always liked him. He's part of the Christian Scientists, which they're a little odd themselves, but that we won't worry about that. I did notice, like, Joanne Wally, she's actually done a lot of stuff here in the States. She's actually, the latest thing I saw her that she popped up in was that Paul, Apostle of Christ. She played Priscilla, which I would like to see that movie. But she actually has done, I was looking on Vudu, she's even done a film of Noah's Ark and some other faith-based films. So I think that's pretty neat, too.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing that I can remember that I have seen her in was The Man Who Knew Too Little with Bill Murray.
And I still haven't seen that one. I figure I should see it sometime.
And that's an interesting film. It's got Bill Murray caught up in this. He thinks he's involved in a big, large-scale play-in, which it's kind of like an escape room where you've got actors doing things. Well, it turns out that he actually got caught up in some sort of conspiracy with MI6 threatening to blow up a Russian delegate. And it's funny, and it doesn't make much sense, but it's a fun little romp.
And it's Bill Murray.
But yeah, that's the only other thing that I remember her in.
She was in that AD, the kind of the sequel series to that Bible television series. She was in that. That was the other faith-based sort of thing that I saw her in. So, she's doing some what I would consider some neat stuff. Now, but y'all don't have to agree with me, but I think that's kind of cool that she's doing those type of projects. So, we should probably wrap this up because this is going to be a very long episode. But I've had some fun. It's kind of been fun catching up and spending a little bit of time talking on Willow, but we had too much other stuff to be able to cover. So we didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time on Willow other than to say that, golly, if you haven't seen that movie, go buy it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You won't regret it. Go buy it, watch it, enjoy the special features. And, if you can find the soundtrack on iTunes or something, definitely get it because it's good. If you like movie scores, I mean, this is one of the best ones. These tunes will get stuck in your head. I mean, this was the 80s when movie scores were big things, because here in the last 20 years, I feel like movie scores, we've gotten away from those big scores. Because now it seems the trend is you don't want to notice the music. But you know what? I kind of want to notice the music because it helps bring me into the emotion of the stories. And we don't have to just want to rely on John Williams being the only one still doing that. It's like some of these other guys are good too. So, well, I guess we'll wrap this up right here. So, see you all next time. And here's the ending sounder.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay! Yay!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.